ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you from the corridor in the courthouse. In just a few moments, we'll enter the courtroom for today's case of Order in the Court.
You didn't know your husband very well when you married him, Mrs. Manning.
I said I hadn't known him very long, Your Honor.
How long?
About a month. I visited in Madison, and I met him at a dance there. And, well, I suppose there is such a thing as love at first sight. At any rate, he proposed to me, and I said yes. Well, I married him and went to Madison to live as his wife.
You say Madison isn't a very large town?
No, sir. It's a very small town.
And you say after you had been married a short time, you began to get a different opinion of your husband?
Well, I didn't say that exactly, Your Honor. I just said that everything wasn't turning out as I'd expected. We had children, two of them, a boy and a girl. When the first child was born, Carl seemed very happy. And then he just seemed changed. I didn't nag at him. I knew his business wasn't as good as it had been when I married him. He was an insurance salesman, but we had a nice home, and I don't know. I began hearing things about him and understanding things, and he began drinking rather heavily. Then, well, we'd been married 6 years. One afternoon, he'd gone over in the car to another town to see a prospect. He came home about 4 o'clock. I heard him down in the living room, and I went down. He was reading his mail. I tried to be cheerful. Well, Carl, did you have a nice trip over to Centerville?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you sell any policies? Well, can't you answer me?
How come this electric light bill's higher this month?
Why, I suppose because we use more electricity.
Oh, yeah? Well, nobody asked you to be sarcastic.
Well, how do you expect me to answer you when you ask a silly question like that? The bill's only 30 cents more than it was last month.
If you'd remember to turn off the lights when you're not using them, it wouldn't be.
I economize as much as I can in this house, Carl, and you know it. I suppose we did use a little more electricity last month because I had to keep the heater going pretty steady when Teddy had a cold.
Yeah? Well, if you'd take care of the kids, they wouldn't be catching colds all the time.
Are you going to let yourself get angry over a miserable 30 cents, Carl?
It isn't the 30 cents, Helen. It's the principle of the thing. Every month, every week, every day, the expenses in this house get bigger and bigger.
That isn't really true, you know.
Well, I say it is true.
Are you sure it isn't your outside expenses that are becoming heavier and heavier?
What do you mean by that?
You're drinking, for one thing.
I'm entitled to a drink whenever I want it.
Or 10, I suppose, or 20.
Sure, I work hard for what I earn. I'm entitled to some pleasure.
Don't you find any pleasure in your home anymore, Carl? Have you lost all interest in your children, in me?
You're going to start that again, are you?
Well, I think it's time you answered me.
I have answered you.
How? How, Carl? Not directly, you haven't. Have you answered me indirectly? Is that what you mean? Is that woman over on Lander Street, is she the answer?
Oh, what are you talking about?
You know perfectly well what I'm talking about.
People have been gossiping, and you believe them, have you?
Don't you think I have eyes, Carl, as well as ears? And a certain amount of understanding? I'm not blind, Carl, nor deaf, nor emotionless.
No? Well, just because my business is calling on people, trying to sell them insurance, you jump to the conclusion that I fall in love with every woman I meet.
That's not true, Carl. I've never thought that.
No? You've been suspicious of me ever since we've been married.
Oh, no. No, Carl.
Sure, I have to call on women. I have to call on a lot of women. Women buy insurance policies.
Oh, Carl.
When women buy insurance policies from me, I get commissions. Commissions mean that I can support my wife and my children.
Oh, Carl. This isn't the you I married. It isn't. Or didn't I know you when I married you? Oh, Carl, please, darling. How can you lie to me like this? Don't you care for me at all anymore? Oh, Carl. Carl, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with me?
Oh, for Pete's sake, Helen, will you please turn off the dramatics?
I wish I could.
Then do it.
Just this morning, Carl, Teddy asked me why his daddy never smiled anymore.
Well, you tell him it's because his business isn't as good as it used to be?
No. No, I didn't tell him.
I guess he wouldn't understand anyhow.
No. No, Carl. Thank God.
Oh, there you go again. I'm always in the wrong. I never do anything right.
Oh, why does anyone have to come here now?
Well, it's Doc Briskin, I guess. He said he'd be here at 4.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have anything to do with that man, Carl.
Now, listen, Helen. You can bawl me out all you want to, but don't start picking on my friends and the men who work with me.
Dr. Briskin isn't your friend, Carl.
Yeah? A lot you know about it.
You know what kind of a reputation he's got here in town. You're playing with fire, Carl.
Yeah? Well, come on, scram, will you? He'll think I've been beating you or something.
Rather that than what it was. I'm going upstairs, Carl. Don't look at me like that. He won't see that I've been crying.
Well, if you had any reason to cry, it'd be different.
Yes, Carl, yes.
Oh, hello, Carl. Thought there wasn't anybody home.
I was right in the midst of writing a check, paying a bill. Come on in.
Okay. That's funny thing about bills. People really expect us to pay them.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a few to pay myself. Oh, you'd better close the door, hadn't you?
Yeah, Doc. Guess I'd better.
Well?
When shall we dispose of John Raley?
You're sure this is safe, Carl?
Certainly it's safe.
Your company won't suspect anything?
Can't you trust me?
Oh, sure, I trust you, Carl.
All right, then.
I don't mind going into this with you. You're sure you know what you're doing. But it's a risky business.
Anything where you stand to make some dough is risky. You got nothing to worry about in this. The company gives me a free rein in this territory. They haven't sent an inspector up since I've had it. This isn't risky with me running it, Doc.
Okay.
Of course, I think we'll have to let our friend Johnny live for at least 6 months. And then we'll let him die, say, of pneumonia.
Well, that's as good as any. Mm-hmm. It's quick and it can happen to anybody. Yeah. Hey, but don't you think we'd better lay off writing any more of these bogus policies until we get rid of the phonies we've already got? No, we're paying out a lot of jack and premium.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to see you today. How about letting that old fellow up at Clayton's die?
Huh? Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Oh, Carl.
Hey, what was that?
What was what?
I thought I heard somebody.
I'll take a look.
No, there's nobody here, Doc. It's okay.
Helen went upstairs before you came in. You had me scared there for a minute.
Get up, Mommy. We want our breakfast, Sue and me.
Sue and I, Teddy.
Oh, yes, but just the same, we want our breakfast.
I know. Mother will get up. Where's your father?
I don't know. He must have gone to work.
I see.
Are you sick, Mommy?
Well, I don't feel very well, Teddy.
Oh, gee.
But still, I guess I could... Oh.
Well, you
going to
sleep all day, Helen?
No, Carl.
The children haven't had any breakfast.
I know. I just didn't feel very well.
Oh, no?
No, I don't know what's the matter with me. Oh, run along downstairs, Teddy.
All right, Mommy.
What is it? Just another of your temperamental spells? Just playing for sympathy? Well, you could answer me, couldn't you?
What is there to say? You wouldn't believe anything I said.
Connor? Well, if you're sick, let's do something about it. You better go down and see Dr. Grayson.
Dr. Grayson's in Europe. You know that.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. All right, I'll phone Doc Briskin.
Oh, no.
Well, you don't have to bark at me, do you?
I'm sorry, Carl. My nerves are just a little jumpy.
A little jumpy? What's the matter with Doc Briskin?
I'll never go to a doctor I don't trust, Carl.
Okay, suit yourself. I'm only trying to help you. If Dr. Grayson's in Europe and you won't have Briskin... Well, there's not but one other doctor in town. That new guy, Mayberry. What a sap he is. Maybe you want him.
I'll see later, Carl. Maybe I'll feel better.
Yeah, and if you don't, you'll blame me. Say it's all my fault.
Well, you don't think there's anything wrong with me anyway.
Did I say so? Listen, Helen. Let me go phone Briskin.
No, Carl.
I can have him here inside of an hour.
I told you no.
All right, all right.
If I don't feel better later on, I'll go see Dr. Mayberry.
Yeah, he'll probably tell you you're about to die and then run up a big bill on you.
Yes, that's a possibility, of course. Will you go downstairs, Carl? I'll be down in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, listen, Helen. What's brought this on? Was it because I didn't get in till almost 3?
No, Carl.
Well, I don't suppose you'd believe me if I were to say it was business. I landed a nice policy.
No. No, I don't think I would believe you, Carl. Will you please go on downstairs?
Oh, it's going to be like that, are you?
Yes, I'm going to be like that.
Okay.
All right, Doctor. What's the matter with me?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know, Doctor. Otherwise, I wouldn't be
here. But here, here. I didn't mean to upset you. I only meant there's nothing organic wrong with you, Mrs. Manning. Those nerves of yours, they could be caused by only one thing. Worry. Something is worrying you, of course. You want to tell me about it?
Oh, no. No, Doctor. It isn't as you think it is, really. It's just that I don't sleep. And I have very little energy anymore.
And you'd probably find yourself crying over the most insignificant things.
Well, yes, I do.
You find it difficult to take an interest in your home life?
Oh, I love my home and my children, Doctor.
Well, of course. All right, Mrs. Manning. I'm going to write you out a prescription. It's a tonic. It'll help quiet your nerves, help you sleep. And really, you need sleep. You need it badly. And whatever it is that's worrying you, try not to let it. Because the things we worry the most about never happen.
Oh, but they've already happened.
Yes, I thought so.
Well, I mean...
There's very little a doctor can do in a case like that. His drugs become powerless, ineffective. Suppose you come back a week from today, next Monday.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You're done.
Oh, getting the children's winter clothes out.
Yeah? How'd you get that trunk?
Why, it's the one I bought last spring. You gave me the money for it, don't you remember?
Yeah. Guess I never noticed it before. Pretty good trunk.
Well, that's what the salesman told me. He said it would last till the crack of doom.
Yeah. It's a good trunk. Well built.
All right. Then never tell me again I paid too much for it. That's what you told me when I bought it.
Well, I hadn't seen it.
Then maybe you'll have a better opinion of my judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, Carl.
Well?
Carl, you've been drinking again.
Not again, still. Why shouldn't I?
Carl, honestly, don't you think you ought to stop it? It's ruining your health and it's ruining your business.
What do you know about my business? You mind your own affairs and I'll mind mine. Don't start bawling again.
I'm not going to cry, Carl. But forget the business if you want. Still, what about your health?
My health's all right.
If you should have a breakdown, what would become of your children, Carl?
Go to the poorhouse, I guess, and you with them?
Oh, Carl, you don't know what you're saying. Maybe you don't care for me any longer, but what about them? What about Teddy and Sue? Oh, they're yours, Carl. You can't have lost your love for them.
Yeah? Well, never mind about the kids. Never mind talking about them, do you hear? You're only using them to get what you want. As long as you can wrap yourself around me and bleed me dry, you should worry about the kids.
So, that's what you think, is it?
All right, isn't it true? All you want's a home, security. You make the kids front for you.
That's a deliberate lie, Carl. What are you getting at? If you want a divorce, I'll give it to you.
Sure, and soak me for plenty of alimony.
Only enough to support the children. I can support myself.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Well, whatever it is they always say, I'll never give up my children, Carl. You might just as well understand that once and for all.
Yeah? Gonna dictate to me, are you? Gonna tell me what to do? Well, I can tell you this, my sweet. I'll make whatever arrangements suit me. You get me? Tell me what I can do and what I can't do, will you? Hang millstones around my neck, will you? Oh, no. No, you won't.
Where are you going, Carl?
Well, suppose you tell the detectives to follow me over to Lander Street. Well, they'll have a lot of work for nothing.
Well, I'll have to say this for you. Your nerves are a lot better. You aren't worrying so much then.
Well, the medicine, I guess, has helped. I've taken it faithfully.
Good.
And, well, I've honestly tried to adjust myself. Or readjust myself, I suppose. That would be more like it.
Good for you. You're sleeping better?
Well, I sleep more, I suppose, but my dreams, Doctor, I have the most awful dreams.
Silly, unnecessary things, aren't they?
They dreams. Aren't silly, Doctor. I wish they were.
Hmm. What sort of dreams?
Well, I suppose it will sound a little fantastic, but the trouble with them is they seem so real.
Yes, I know.
I dream of murder, Doctor.
Good heavens.
I mean it. I dream of people murdering people, and then I wake up screaming. Oh, I know I must be screaming. I can almost hear the echo.
Has anyone else heard you scream?
Not that I know of. They've never said anything, neither my husband nor my children. I know I've been screaming, Doctor. And I just lie there in bed, terrified. I can't seem to make myself realize it's a dream. Oh, I know it is, but it's so awfully, awfully real.
Hmm. Mrs. Manning, I know it won't help much to assure you that those dreams are silly. I know what dreams can do, even though I'm not a psychiatrist. But if you can tell yourself over and over again, before you go to sleep, that you aren't going to have any dreams, well, maybe it'll help. At any rate, try it. Try it for a few nights. Try to think back to something that may have caused your subconscious mind to pervert itself like that. And then try to realize that it's so utterly ridiculous, whatever it is. Will you try it?
Yes.
And then, if in another few days you haven't, well, driven them away, suppose I send you up to the city, to a friend of mine who understands those things, who studies them. How's that?
All right, Dr. Mayberry.
And in the meantime, you'll try to whip it?
Yes, I'll try.
Good. You're really coming along great, you know.
Thanks. If they don't stop, I'll tell you. Good day.
Good day. And good luck.
Death, murder.
No.
Oh.
Give her another injection, nurse. By this afternoon, I think she'll be all right. And then we can let the police question her.
But I tell you, I don't know. All I know is I had a dream, and when I woke up, I was here in the hospital.
You don't remember anything?
I tell you, no. I dreamed I woke up, and there was Carl beside the bed, with his neck broken, his head twisted round. He was dead. And then I went back to sleep.
Mrs. Manning, I'll have to tell you this sooner or later. You didn't dream that. It was true.
Oh, no.
It was true.
Oh, no. You mean Carl's death?
Yes, Mr. Manning. We found him by your bed. His neck was broken, as you described it. And you were unconscious.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God.
We'd better leave it alone now, nurse. We'll answer her questions later.
I came as soon as I heard, Mrs. Manning.
They think I did it, Doctor.
Well, they're crazy. I don't.
But what am I going to do? I'm losing my mind.
You aren't losing your mind, Mrs. Manning. Now, I know a lot more about you and your husband than you think I do.
But he was insuring people who weren't alive and collecting on them, letting people die.
We know that. Dr. Griscom has admitted it.
Well, then why do they... What Yes, Dr. Mabry, I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him.
I know you didn't. But we've got to find out who did.
Yes, but who?
I've told you I knew more about this than you think I do. I think she did. You understand who I mean by she?
Yes.
All right. Will you not worry? Will you leave it to me?
Yes, yes.
All right, Captain. She's played into our hands, all right. Going to the movies tonight.
Well, I still don't see how.
No? Well, maybe I'm wrong. Find a pair of her shoes.
But what do you want with her shoes?
You'd never think a doctor could be a detective, would you, Captain? Well, maybe he can. Here. This one will do. Come on, let's go, and I'll show you how to use it.
So you weren't in Mr. Manning's house that night, Mrs. Smith?
I most certainly was not.
You're sure?
Oh, don't keep asking your silly questions.
All right, look at this. Is that your shoe?
Why, yeah. Yeah, so what? Did I leave that shoe in his house?
No. No, you didn't leave the shoe in the house, but something in the house left this in the sole of your shoe.
Oh.
Yes, yes, this bit of broken china. It's from the lampshade that was overturned and broken in the living room. It's in the sole of your shoe.
No, no.
Put her under arrest, man.
No, no. Get away. Don't you put your hands on me. I'll tell you the truth. I was there. I'll tell you all about it. I didn't do it. He did it.
Yeah?
It was an accident.
What do you mean, accident? He was going to kill his wife, wasn't he? Put a body in the trunk and throw it in the river.
Yes, yes. How did you know?
You'd be surprised.
Well, he didn't do it. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I was there, yes. And then when he told me what he was going to do, I told him no, I wouldn't be implicated in anything like that. He got sore at me and started to hit me, and I ducked, and he fell. I don't know how it all happened, but he tripped on the lamp cord and the lamp broke. It was pitch dark. He fell and the table fell and I heard him groan. And then I called to him and he didn't answer. And I ran. I ran out of the house and went back home. That's all I know. I swear it. I had nothing to do with it. I swear it. I swear it.
Take it out of the station, man.
No, no, no. How could it have happened like that?
Well, obviously he fell and pulled the table over on him, and it broke his neck.
But how did he get to my room?
Well, it's happened before. People don't always die immediately with a broken neck. Sometimes they live for hours. There have been cases where motive power hasn't been destroyed for quite some time. He seems to have been one of those cases. He dragged himself upstairs and... Well, you know the rest.
Oh, how horrible.
Yes, it is. Consider this. It was death or a long, long prison sentence.
Yes, I know. I suppose I should have told.
Well, that no one can answer. But at least you must try to again readjust your life.
Oh.
Helen.
But how did you know that china was in the sole of a shoe?
Because I put it there. Maybe I'm a better detective than I would be a doctor. As a matter of fact, she realized today that that wasn't even one of the shoes she was wearing that night. Oh, I had to do something, Helen, because, you see, even if he didn't love you, I did.
Oh, no, please.
I won't say any more about it now, but later I'm going to ask you to marry me, Helen. Now, don't try to answer me now. I just wanted you to know.
My problem, Your Honor.
Dr. Mayberry wants you to marry him?
Yes, sir, he does. And I don't know whether I should or not.
Do you love him?
How can I be sure, Your Honor? How can I ever be sure of anything? I don't know Dr. Mayberry any more than I knew Carl. When I married Carl, I believed I loved him. I was sure he was a fine man, but he changed. Perhaps it was my fault that he changed. You see, I feel that all the rest of my life I'll be afraid. Because always I'll have the memory of this terrible tragedy.
Mrs. Manning, without hesitating, my answer is yes. I believe Dr. Mayberry loves you. I believe you love him. And I believe further that you two may find together the happiness for which we are all searching.
We are once again talking to you from the corridor as the courtroom is emptying. We hope that you'll join with us again when we return for the next session of Order in the Court.